Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Welcome to New Jersey. You're under arrest.
Yeah, pretty much. We ought to have all the signs changed on the on the road. Welcome to New Jersey. You're under arrest. Please get out of your car and raise your hands.
Keep your hands away from your body. We have a special guest in the studio today. We have Jen Haas. How are you, Jen?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Well, she comes across well on the radio. That's good. Jen and her husband are founding members of the Woodland Park Range, and including their children and their dog, Bruno. And she had an encounter we're going to discuss a little further on. But, Jen, please feel free to jump in at any time, okay?
Okay.
First thing I want to talk about is another win for Evan Knappen. This Millville teacher that was facing 10 years in prison and losing his pension, this 72-year-old guy. This is what the prosecutor wrote. Her name is Jennifer Webb McCray, Cumberland County prosecutor. In the matter of State versus Gordon Van Gilder, a case arising out of the city of Millville, blah, 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 unlawful possession of a weapon, violation of 2C39-5B. Possession of an antique firearm constitutes a violation of NJS, blah, 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 and is subject to the Graves Act. Under the Attorney General directive to ensure uniform enforcement of the Graves Act when there is lawful basis for charging a person with a crime subject to the Graves Act, the county prosecutor shall file or approve the charges if the police have not already filed a complaint. Accordingly, the public should be forewarned about the prescriptions against possessing a firearm, even an antique, in a vehicle. Notwithstanding, upon careful review of the circumstances of this case, I am exercising prosecutorial discretion to dismiss the above-noted charges in the interest of justice in accordance with the above-noted directive.
For the possession of a 300-year-old flintlock pistol.
In the interest of justice.
In the interest
this
of
is,
justice.
Jen, this is bullshit because we had this discussion before. We were in the VIP lounge, and I had a discussion with John McConnell in the canteen, Patriots Pork Roll Canteen, and it said, if you're a nobody that's not a Second Amendment person, mm-hmm. and you're charged with this, you're going to prison for 5, 6, 7
because
years.
Because you've got Jacoby and Myers defending you.
Because this case came to the surface because Van Gilder sought help with the NRA, and the NRA did a video, and of course the premier attorney, Evan Knappen, jumped on a case, and we got public outcry mm-hmm. and national coverage on
yep,
this case.
Exactly.
The problem with prosecutorial discretion now is the law is still the law in New Jersey. So other people will be arrested right. for carrying a single-shot, smoothbore, 300-year-old flintlock
right.
with no criminal intent.
No criminal intent.
Where
whatsoever.
They want to apply the Graves Act. The Graves Act was designed for you're committing a violent crime in the possession of a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
What was Mr. Van Gilder's violent crime that they wanted to apply the Graves Act?
Right. But the Graves Act is universally applied to anything that has any type of gun charge addressed to it.
But now, because he had nothing to plea down, what happens
right.
is if a
right.
shitbag
exactly. right.
mugged you
mm-hmm.
with a
right.
gun, he would go through negotiations with the prosecutor's office, and the prosecutor would say, all right, we'll drop the gun charge if your client pleads guilty to grand theft auto and assault and battery.
So they'll drop the other charge.
They'll drop the gun charge. And they'll keep the other charges, and usually it'll be time served because the shitbag will be in county lockup for a year waiting for to come to trial because they can't make bail. So the judge will say,
visiting
all right, time served.
So he doesn't really care if he goes to jail. You and I, we really care.
Correct.
Oh, sure.
So they'll say time served and you get out. So they always drop the gun charge first. But when a law-abiding citizen like Jen Haas or Van Gilder get into a jam, there is nothing to plea bargain. There is
we're
nothing
not doing
to
anything
drop.
Else wrong.
Right.
Correct. So we
right.
go to prison for a minimum of 3.5 to 7 years.
For doing
he
nothing.
He was going to lose his state pension
yeah.
because he was a school teacher. This is a 72-year-old guy that collected 300-year-old revolutionary memorabilia.
The best part of the whole thing was they were awaiting when Knappen said, what's going on with this? They said, we are awaiting a ballistics test for this gun. Now, you're talking about a gun that you literally have to unscrew what looks like a miniature cannon. In order to be able to load. It's 300 years old. What boneheaded idiot is going to load this thing up and test fire it. And what are you going to compare it against? You're firing a lead ball that's held in there with a patch, black powder, no striation marks whatsoever. And where are you comparing it to? The National Crime Database for flintlock shootings? What the hell is this all about?
Now, you want to talk about another thing that's going on in New Jersey is I want to give the Horse's Ass Award this week to Assemblyman Ralph Caputo.
We haven't given that out in a while.
Assemblyman Ralph Caputo just pushed through the camera registration bill in New Jersey.
That's wonderful. So now if you have a camera that is protecting your business, you have to register it with the police department.
You have to register your cameras. Business and residential is
residential
the way it's written.
Too. Very nice.
And it's supposed to make the police jobs easier doing their police work. Yeah. So, Jen, rather than knock on your door and ask you if your cameras work, the police will have a database of everybody that has cameras. So when a crime is committed, they can recreate. This is just another step into big brotherdom here. George Orwell, 1984, coming to fruition.
Who's watching?
So New Jersey Assemblyman Ralph Caputo gets this month's Horse's Ass of the Month
award. Well-deserved, too.
For sure. And this is going to go to the Senate now, and it's definitely going to pass the Senate. And we'll see if Christie's still the governor or whoever's the acting governor while he's running for president and getting spanked by Rick Perry and Jeb Bush here. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, we got to register our cameras. You know I'm going to register my cameras? With the letters FU on the form. Yeah, that's where I'm going to register my cameras. I'll be the first one they can lock up for not registering my cameras. Let the police do their police work. Let them knock on the door and ask if you have cameras.
If they can see the camera outside, they can ask you. But why have a database of everybody? Unfortunately, we've got databases of everything we do. If you realize how deeply involved the government is in our lives, and we sleeping idiots have allowed this to be sliced away bit by bit by bit by bit. Our freedoms are disappearing, and we're going, it's just registration. It's not a big deal.
Right. Everybody thinks they're helping the police
of course
do their jobs.
And we're doing it in the name of safety. We're trying this fabricated idea of safety, which we're not getting. The people who trade freedom for safety deserve neither. And unfortunately, bit by bit by bit, we're having a police state that's coming.
Let's talk about net neutrality when we come back, and then Jen is going to share her story.
All right.
Can we do that?
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Coming back.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Your Valentine will love you for it. Hurry and order early.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites. Their web domain is montvilleoffice.com. Montville Executive Suites features 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, billing, contract negotiation, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional office environment for your business, and you can get your ass out of the coffee shop or your mom's kitchen or basement or garage or wherever you're existing right now.
Let's meet in the A&P parking lot at 2 o'clock.
Beat the competition now and have a professional environment. The next thing is NRA, if you still have your ballot, Bach and DeBurgolis is who we're endorsing. We're recommending that you bullet vote for Bach and DeBurgolis. Also, Anthony is receiving a major award on Thursday, March 12th.
What Anthony?
At the Brownstone. I'm getting a PBA silver card.
The Brownstone.
Yes, great food. I'm getting a PBA silver card. What does that mean? That's like a
get
massive
get
out of jail free card, better than Monopoly.
Wow.
I'm getting that. So, yes, I'm getting an award for everything I do
get
for law enforcement.
What does that cost?
No, they don't do it. It's real silver, by the way.
Real?
Yeah, it's real silver.
Wow. So when the dollar collapses, you'll be able to buy maybe a loaf of bread.
So PBA Local 173, it's their awards dinner and banquet, and I'm being honored again.
Oh.
So, which is good. So, we got to support those that support us.
Did you want me to try to tap you on the back? I don't think you can reach.
We talked
patting
about
yourself on the.
You mentioned net neutrality because that's your thing. Because you're a conspiracy theorist bigger than me. And then I want Jen to share her lipstick bodyguard and life story.
No conspiracy about it.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, the internet was taken away from you by three people who sat down behind closed doors and regulated the internet now under the Federal Communications Commission, which means to you, all you morons out there who carried picket signs in support of net neutrality, there is going to be an entire government takeover of the internet. Nothing's going to happen right away, but this show could very well disappear within the next 5 years because we're not allowed to be saying the things that we're saying, because the FCC will now govern us the same way they governed broadcast. We chose this particular mode of delivery for you guys, number one, because it was the first time a show like this has ever been delivered this way, so you could listen to it at your convenience, anywhere, any way, and we could say any damn thing we wanted. Well, that's all going to change. So is probably your television speed, too, because now since Bits Are Bits, I listened to a very compelling discussion by Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
And billionaire.
Talk about this very same thing. A bit is a bit. So right now your TV comes through the cable company and it takes priority position over your internet. Well, since a bit is a bit, get ready for live TV to start buffering because everything's got to be slowed down to a particular speed. If you think back at how great this is, remember that when the telephone was developed and the Communications Act of 1938 went into play, the greatest, single greatest advance, now I'm going to talk over a lot of people's heads, Anthony and I are going to know, the single greatest advance in communications at that point was when the freaking slimline princess phone with the lighted dial appeared somewhere in, what was that, like the 60s or 70s?
70s.
So from 1938 to the 1970s, that was the greatest technological advancement because it was governed and regulated by the FCC. Then the deregulation of the phone company came, and from 1970 till now, we're watching friggin' Netflix in the middle of the park on our mobile phones.
Correct.
And that's what happens when you deregulate an industry, but when you regulate an industry, it cripples it. So thanks very much, FCC. Now, what was interesting about it is there's 350 pages of regulations that no one was able to see. Not even our congressman who asked to see this and basically were given the big FU because this all falls under Obama's administration and they don't have to report to Congress. This is an executive branch bureaucracy governing now the internet. Get ready for plenty of taxes, too.
Yes.
The 300 some odd pages, Nobody knows what it says. Like the Obama bill, we have to pass it to see what's in it.
Correct.
Yeah, that's really good.
So, speaking of lipstick bodyguard, females, and everything,
were we?
I had a close encounter with Jen. Met Jen in an awkward moment at the range one day. So, Jen, I'd love for you to share your story from the beginning and take your time and tell us all the details. And it's going to be missing the adrenaline rush that she exhibited when I spoke to her that day. I wish we had a mic on her then, but good. Tell us what happened to you. This is for all you women and men out there to share with your family members and loved ones.
Okay. I was returning to a mall, the Willowbrook Mall here was a local mall, and I was returning some things. So I had a specific task to do. I pull into the parking lot, and I noticed a car that was already there next to me. The driver was still sitting in it. He was on the phone. You know, he was maybe finishing up a phone call. You don't think about it, but you kind of mark it in your mind. What is going on? I also remembered what he was wearing. Again, just in passing. I often do that. I'm very aware as a girl growing up, you're always told be very aware of your surroundings at all times, no matter what. So I took that into account. Go into the mall. I go into the bathroom and I notice that same blue puffy coat from the guy who was sitting next to me in the car coming from another angle also into the bathroom.
So situational awareness you were exhibiting there, huh, young lady?
So this is the second time I saw the same person, so my hackles start going up, and I get, okay, so now I'm really on guard. Before, you know, you just kind of walk around, do your job, whatever, do what you got to do. Now I'm very aware of this particular person. Now, he was a white male. He was probably about my age, maybe a little younger. Jeans, respectable looking. It was a nice car that he was sitting next to in the parking lot. So no other red flags were raised other than I saw him again for the second time in a fairly large mall. I come out of the bathroom. I see him for a third time coming back into the bathroom.
Wow.
Again, okay, now it's red flag time. So I did what I had to do. I had two stores I had to visit, did my returns, and I am continually looking over my shoulder. People must have thought I was like crazy. But I kept looking over my shoulder to see if he was following me in the mall. I did not see him. But seeing him three times is not a normal circumstance. So as I'm walking back to my car, again, I remember hearing a story or hearing one of the shows that Anthony and Sandy had done about the Christmas time, being very aware, keeping your hands free, even if you have bags on them, keeping your hands free, keeping aware of your surroundings. So with that in mind, I stopped while I was amongst people in the mall, got out my lipstick bodyguard. I took off the top, and I had my finger on the trigger. That's
very
how, like,
good.
Nervous
yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
I made sure my hands were free. The only thing I had was this. Luckily, I have a car that I was able, it's a remote control, so I didn't have to worry about fumbling for the keys or anything like that, so I was planning ahead. I walk out, and it's one of those really cold days, so you're not dawdling around looking at the sun. You wanted to go straight to your car. There were no cars in the area that were turned on. Again, situational awareness. I walk to my car to the driver's side. The car is still there.
Oh, wow.
In the rear view mirror on the passenger side of his car, I saw him in the driver's seat. So two things went through my mind. Can I get in my car and get out of there in time? If he started moving, I probably would have backed up and like ran back into the mall.
Towards
but
safety.
He didn't move. Right, towards yeah. safety. He didn't move. I still had the lipstick thing on me. Luckily, again, even though I had a new car, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I got in. I locked it. Still had my finger on the trigger just in case of the lipstick. I pulled out, again, from the show that Anthony had done around Christmas time. Don't even put your seatbelt on. Don't call anybody. Just pull out of the parking lot and get to safety. So I pull out of the parking lot, or I pull out of my spot, and I leave the parking lot. I notice he pulls out behind
wow.
me.
Aye, aye, aye.
Okay, so my finger is still on the trigger. My adrenaline is absolutely
fight or flight reflexes.
Yes, you know.
Try
I'm thinking,
dialing your phone at that what? Point.
Oh, forget it. Oh my gosh, the first thing I think of is how can I get out of here to either lose him or to get to safety. Now, luckily, I was going to be stopping by the gun for hire range here in Woodland Park because I needed to drop off something for Anthony. So I probably would have done that anyway, just because I didn't want this person following me home.
She came to one of the safest places.
Yeah.
So right. We're going to come back to you en route to the range now, okay?
Okay.
This is incredible. Man.
I told you. For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Freedom.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Dr. Eric has published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. His office is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. He's a family chiropractic center. He can help you with your shooting. He can help you with other ailments. If you or anyone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey, check out Waldorf Chiropractic. His Facebook page is Waldorf Family Chiropractic. Support those who support us. Unfortunately, Jen had to leave, and we're going to continue the story next week.
You can't do that to people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just bluffing. All right, so Jen, you're in the car. Your fight or flight reflexes kick in. Your fine motor functions. I just said to her off the air, would you have been able to dial your iPhone at that point?
Absolutely not.
It's amazing. People don't realize this.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you're driving to the range, which probably is one of the safest destinations she could ever come to.
Right,
okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we got her back here. If he had followed her into the range, he would have been holding targets the rest of the day. But anyway, so go ahead, Jen. Finish your story, dear.
Okay, so I pull out of the parking lot, and I look behind me, and he's continuing to follow me.
Wow.
So I don't frequent this mall that often, so I think the way I come in and out is a little weird. I take weird turns, and I go, and I wanted to do that anyway. I didn't want to follow the normal path in case he was actually following me, and then I would know that he was actually following me. I get out of the parking lot, I go to the main highway, and I no longer see the car. That doesn't make me feel any more secure, like I said. So I went to Gun for Hire. I came to the range. I walked in. And again, it's like I pulled in, and I was going to double park at this point. I wasn't going to go to the back parking lot because I was just so nervous. I didn't know if he was following me, and I just couldn't see him. I'm not used to, like, this surveillance stuff, so I don't know what to look for except that particular car. And it was, again, a nondescript car, but it was a very nice car. So it's not like it was some old beat-up thing.
Doesn't matter. Ted Bundy drove a nice car, too.
We call that a blend car. See, whatever car he had was a good blend car.
Right.
It wasn't an orange Subaru.
Right. If you didn't think anything of it, it would just blend in the background.
Get a burgundy or a gray Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
Okay? Four-door sedan.
Right.
And no one can identify it if it's used in a crime. It's a blend car. So go ahead, Jen.
Right. So I pull into the parking lot again. I think I would have double parked so I could be right up front, but I found a spot. I walked in. Luckily, Anthony had just shown up, and so I told him the whole story. And he was telling me off air just a second ago that I was so flushed because of the adrenaline happening.
I mean,
and
had to be freaked
everything
out
that was
her voice
going
was
on.
Crackling. Her vocal cords were all stressed out by just by the way she was talking to me. Yeah. I can see it in her motions and everything. So she tell him what happened when from there. You explained to me what happened.
Right. I explained to Anthony what happened. And, you know, I eventually calmed down a little bit. But again, he had mentioned maybe it was a carjacking. You know, as a woman, you immediately think it's a personal, harmful thing that is about to happen. You don't think about material things. At least I don't. Material things can be replaced. You, on the other hand, you don't. You right. want your personal safety to be taken care of first. So again, that's why I had that. And it's as I was leaving the mall, I thought, thank God I had this in my purse. What if I didn't?
I was going to ask you that. What did it? What do you think it would have felt like if you had no method at all, no means at all to defend yourself at that point? Would you have? I think it would have probably pushed you psychologically over the edge.
Yes, maybe to the point where I would have stayed in the mall and maybe called a friend to come pick me up.
Yeah.
You know, or something, because I didn't feel safe being by myself.
See, in New Jersey, you can't have a gun, but you can at least have, like this lipstick bodyguard, you have some method of defending yourself against a predator who, let's face it, this is probably a predator.
And of course, her husband was away.
Right.
Right.
So, I tried to calm her down as best as I could, offered whatever service is possible. And then I walked her out to the car about a half hour later, and she got in the car and drove. And I told her, let me know when she gets home and the whole bit. Right. Make sure nobody's following you. If they are, drive to a police station or turn around. You make a U-turn, come right back and call the range and tell us you're on your way here, you know. And luckily, nothing else happened for that. But as you were unwinding the rest of the day, isn't it a weird feeling? Did you make sure your doors were double locked and everything that day?
Yes, I did. And I have a large German Shepherd at home that
Bruno.
Is like my my backup to my alarm system. So I just made sure he was always around me. And you don't realize how much you kind of take for granted as you're traveling around your local neighborhood, how safe you feel.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay here at the range for a bit of time to make sure that this person was not going to follow me to that safe place, my home, my neighborhood, involve my kids in any of this or whatever. I just, that was the most probably unnerving thing once I felt or saw him coming behind me in the parking lot, that he was going to take it another step further. Maybe follow me home.
Yeah, escalate it. He's
after
a predator.
Me or
he's
the car
after
or,
you. He's
or
after
whatever.
Something.
Yeah.
And the problem is that with the malls, especially in New Jersey, there really is no security. And, for the malls.
Certainly not outside.
Exactly.
There was nothing
maybe
outside.
Two
maybe
cops
inside.
Walking around, which in a million square feet, good luck.
Right. And let me tell you something. Even outside of New Jersey, you go into malls like the Mall of America. Right now, all the malls are on a high terror alert.
Yeah, but New Jersey's not worried.
No, they're not. Of course, they're not worried. And you go to the Mall of America, and the first thing you see is a no guns allowed sign.
Yes.
Which to me really ticks me off, because are you going to provide armed security? You're telling me I cannot protect myself, my family, my children in your mall, but you're not going to provide security to me? To me, that seems to be, I don't know. That's a crime. That's the crime.
Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you what you did wrong in the whole scenario. Nothing, because you survived.
Okay. Yes.
Unscathed.
Right. Yeah.
So we can't second guess anything. Now, what you did right is phenomenal. First of all, you've proved that you walk through life in a heightened state of awareness,
which is conditioned so yellow. Rare. This is so rare.
It's almost like a unicorn.
Especially with, you see people walking all the time or jogging with their ear sets on.
Yes.
Not
me.
They can't hear anything going on around them.
Nothing.
So you entered that mall with that car in condition yellow, whether that guy was in that car or not.
Right.
Because your head is on a swivel and you're aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So that is irreplaceable right there. That'll save your life a billion times. Again, predators look for prey. If I'm a bad guy and if I'm hiding between two cars and I see you walking and you look like you're aware, I'm mugging the next person.
Right.
Okay, because you're letting off this feeling it's going to hit me. You know, something's up with her.
It's the confidence. It's the awareness. And again, as a little girl, you are told, walk confidently. My father used to work in downtown Baltimore in a really bad area. And I would go in with him in the summertime.
Good area in downtown Baltimore?
There are some now. It has been changed.
Okay.
I'm sure it's gentrified.
Yes, much better now.
Over the years.
They sweep the crack pipes off the floor.
And he would tell me, no matter what, you walk with confidence. Because like you just said, Anthony, criminals will look at someone who is not confident, who is stumbling, who is not aware of where they are going and attack them. But if you're looking confident, you know where you're going, you're on a beeline somewhere, then they might pass you.
So what she did right so far is we talk about condition yellow, heightened state of awareness, instead of condition white, a.k.a. head and ass disease, okay? The next thing that Jen did was she fought off normalcy bias.
Yes.
She felt like something was wrong, and she followed her instincts.
Right. Exactly.
She didn't talk herself out of it and say it was just a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's probably plenty of people with puffy blue coats walking around following me out of the bathroom.
Middle-aged man, didn't look, he looked unassuming, and anything else, what did you call it before, with the car, a blend car. Very, he didn't have a hoodie, he didn't have any, slouchy pants, nothing like that. So there was no other red flag in that regard. But again, the fact that I saw him the second time, more of a yellow flag, and then the third time, absolutely.
And let's face it, we've all been to malls before. How many times do you run into the same person three times?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
There's a feeling that you get, and there's that normalcy
bias. Those little hairs
bias,
stick up in the back of your neck for a reason.
And Jen, hackles I was talking.
For everybody listening to this, play this segment, these two segments, for your family, please, and your kids, because she followed that instinct. Like Sandy said, the hair stood up on the head. Something didn't feel right to her.
Right.
And she said, God damn it, I'm going to follow up on this. And I'm going to prepare myself for it. I'm not just going to walk into the lion's den and say everything is going to be all right. That's how you end up becoming a victim. Right. There are certain things we can't avoid. You turn the corner, guy hits you in the head with a pipe and steals your purse and your jewelry. Oh, shit, that happens, But premeditated stuff, if he was planning on doing something, and for me, in all intents and purposes, it sounds like you definitely dodged a bullet here.
And neurologically, what's happening, what happened to you physiologically is your right brain is constantly working. The right brain is the thing that's responsible for putting puzzles together.
Right.
It's the thing that creates dreams at night. Well, the left brain is logical. The left brain's going to try to talk the right brain out of that. That's where the normalcy bias comes out.
Right.
Where it's saying, oh, no, it just says rational. This is ridiculous. You're being stupid. And the right brain's trying to get through and say, hey, wait, Jen, there's something wrong here.
Right.
There's really something wrong.
Too coincidental.
It's too coincidental.
Right.
Which is, and the good thing that you did was you actually listened to it, where most people will go to that normalcy bias and try to justify what's going on. They start listening to logic. When we all know something's wrong.
The animal instinct said you got to listen
to it. The animal, and we're going to talk more about that. Normalcy bias. Everything I do gonna be funky
from now on. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, PHILLYGUN training.com. Yes, Jose.
I spoke to Jose this morning. He's actually expanding his, well, I can't say
that. Is he in Center City?
Yes. He's not in Center City unless he's moved. He's finally, you know what he did? He called me and said, I'm moving to friggin' Center City because everybody keeps going to Center City to find where I am.
Oh, he's in Garden Grove.
Yes, in Garden Grove. Spring Garden. Spring Garden. Around the corner from the gun range.
Around the corner from the gun range, across the street from where you go get your pistol permits and paperwork.
And follow the big banner soon. And he's actually helping everybody get their Philly, their Pennsylvania permits, too. He's walking.
Jose is the man trained by Gun for Hire, trained by Masad Ayoub.
Yes, and, a master trainer of trainers.
If you want to come down and check him out, so if you're in Trenton, Philly area, please check out Jose Morales at Philly Gun Training. So, Jen, talking back to you, we talk about normalcy bias, and you fought that. The other thing is Jen is driving a brand-new luxury SUV.
Not that
you can't be driving a 72 Dodge Dart and not get mugged or raped or robbed.
It's just, sadly, one more reason to be attacked.
Correct, right. Because they sell this shit on the black market. These cars end up in containers, and they go to Africa and the Middle East and stuff and get sold. Right. We talk about in the Short Hills, the guy that was shot in the head and killed with his fiance, they wanted his vehicle. They were carjackers.
A couple of gangbangers, yes.
This probably wasn't a carjacker because it was one man. I think he's just your garden variety weirdo rapist or something like that. Yeah. You know, it would have been very easy with a knife or gun to force you into your car. It could have been a sexual thing. It could have been just to get your money, your diamonds, your jewelry, and bring you to an ATM and have you withdraw as much money as possible. Right. It could have turned into a hostage situation. There's so many things that could have happened, but you fought through all of the feelings that most people, when they get busted, and you right before we ended it, you talked about like the animal kingdom and everything, and it's the truth. I say it all the time. The lion lays in the grass for 6 hours waiting for the elderly or the wounded wildebeest to move 5 feet closer.
Right.
Now, why is that? Because the lioness knows that that's almost a sure thing. I'm not going to waste all my energy. I'm hungry. I'm not going to waste all my energy on something that's going to outrun me.
Right.
All right? So it's the same thing. If I'm a predator and I'm sitting in my car, if she got out of her car, now he might have gotten a good read on her too, and he might have realized it, and then he broke off following her after that because he realized, she looks noisy. You know, this is something we always think of, too. If you look like you're going to put up a fight, I'll go back to the mall. There's somebody else that I can rape or pillage.
It's very interesting. You know, when we walk in the city together, you'll see everybody else in front of us getting panhandled and whatever. And for whatever reason, you know, they look at us and back away.
Correct.
Like we were on fire. And it was, they don't even attempt to do that. And it happens even when we're not together, when we're with respective other people. When I'm with my wife, we don't ever get bothered. And she said, how come everybody seems to just back away? Nobody ever comes up to us to pan or try to sell us
anything. Bite their head off. They can feel it.
They can feel it.
But now, we know you're on board. We know your husband's on board. How do you handle it with your three kids?
Right, and you knew enough to
be
armed.
Two boys and a girl.
I mean, you were armed with the best way you possibly could have in the state of New Jersey.
Correct.
Or in a place that doesn't allow firearms. Right. You were armed. You took that. That was something, to me, that means a lot because you had forethought of this. You said, just because, you know, the likelihood of being attacked is very low. Okay, we live in America. The likelihood of being attacked is very low. So most people fall into that false sense of security. Yet, the likelihood of having a fire in your home is pretty low also, but we also have fire extinguishers. We go out and we'll buy a fire extinguisher. The likelihood of getting into a car accident is low, but we have car insurance.
And airbags
and seatbelts and things of this nature.
Did you share the story with your kids? Or did you protect them by not sharing it?
No, actually, I told my daughter about it.
Now, how old is your daughter?
12.
Okay, perfect age.
Katrina.
So it is a perfect age, right? She's starting to want to.
Like the hurricane? Very good.
Yes, she doesn't like that, but
we
yes.
We now have something
yes.
in
See,
common.
See, now it's different. Yes. I think of Katrina and the waves, which they had that one song, Walking on Sunshine. I remember people's names for word association.
Okay.
And when Walter introduced me to Katrina, that's how I always remember her name. I noticed Katrina Wall Jr. and the other son is?
Christian.
See, Christian, I didn't remember. Now I have to remember Christian. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. So
you talked to Katrina.
I minimally talked to Katrina. I don't remember the other two being there. They might have been doing homework or whatever. So I talked to Katrina about it, but I tried not to make it so scary sounding because I didn't want her to be afraid of walking out of her own
house. Yeah.
And she is 12, but she does need, again, you know, as a girl, you need to be aware of your surroundings. And that was the point I was driving home to her. I had told her about the incidents. I told her about the fact that I saw the same person a second time should make you more aware.
Correct.
Again, you see him a third time, huge red flags. You got to take action. You have to be aware. You have to be on guard, on point, all of that. And so I think she heard me. She's not afraid to go out of her house, but, you know, she heard the story, and I think, you know, she absorbed the information, and hopefully the next time she goes out, she can, you know, just be aware. That's all I'm asking
I think
all of my
parents,
kids.
As parents, you don't think that
aware.
They're getting it, but the greatest gift your dad gave to you was that level of awareness, to always
Absolutely.
Be aware.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You but know, now it's your job to perpetuate
to pass,
it with your kids.
Pass it
right.
Along, right. And
Absolutely.
They probably are hearing, you know, they're going to poo-poo it, but they're hearing when the time comes is right. It's going to kick in.
Well, as a mother, it's funny because you don't really get an immediate award or reward mm-hmm. for all the things you teach your children.
Right.
You
Correct.
Might see them
right.
a couple years down the road, and all of a sudden something will come back, and they'll say something in response to what you told them, like, oh, they did get that. They did understand
yeah.
what I was talking
yeah.
about.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping, you know, if you just keep giving the same message, they will get it. They'll learn to live it and understand it and be prepared for the future.
Now, when she's, I guess, is there an age limit in New Jersey to be able to carry?
16.
16.
Yep.
So when she's 16, she can carry now, you know.
I if she's mature enough, she
yeah.
can carry it sooner. Because what are you going to do?
You talking about right. the lipstick?
Yeah.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, you're right.
As a prosecutor.
You're absolutely right.
When she's 13, if Jen feels she's mature enough to keep it, what we have to worry about is, well, I'm not worried about Katrina being mature enough because she's growing up in the right household. I'm worried about one of her girlfriends or boyfriends. Not, I'm sorry, Walt, not boyfriend. One of her friends who's a male. One of her friends who's not a female.
He heard that from the other side
I
of the
know,
building.
Man, I'm going to hear about this. One of her friends who's not a female might find it in her pocket or
right.
see it. And then, of course, in school, spray everybody.
Yeah, sure.
And now that'll be a big problem because she brought that to school and kids got evacuated or whatever. The part I don't care about is a guy pulling up in a car and asking her for directions at 12 or 13 and him making
and
the shit
it.
Out of him.
Yeah.
I don't care about
yeah,
that.
No problem at all.
What are you going to do? Go ahead,
right.
Good. Give her 30 years in jail. Let's see.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see how you're going to put
right.
this when we get the press on it and everything.
Right.
Okay. Let's see.
Right.
Well, this, she'd be the test case to get the age changed to 13 years old.
Right.
It boils down to the same mall thing, too, right?
Right.
Being out like at the Mall of America. I'm carrying the sign over there that says no guns allowed. I don't give a crap about the sign. I just don't care because I'm going in there. If I have a concealed weapon, it's supposed to be concealed.
Mm-hmm.
Who
right.
else is supposed to know that I have
Who
this?
Who would see it?
Right.
right.
And if Haji decides to rip the place down, at least I know I am, you know, I'll deal with the consequences later on. Now, am I telling anybody to do that? Of course not.
Right.
But I've taken that onto my, you know, onto my own self. And I said, I would rather be prepared and deal with the, you know, I've got Evan Knappen's phone number.
So right. here's what I need
well,
you to do.
The same type of thing with okay. Katrina. It's like now that she's starting to go into the tween years and she's doing things with her girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily always by my side,
right.
I want to make sure that she's protected or comfortable. Because the thing with me was what as I was walking out and I had that in my hand, the lipstick mace, I just felt more comfortable. I felt like I had a bodyguard with me. They call
yeah.
it lipstick bodyguard.
Yeah.
And I really felt, you know what? I can see someone enough that if I see them coming towards me, I'm taking them out.
Yeah,
I
done.
Don't care if he's
done.
Innocent. I'm
right.
taking
right.
him out.
Yeah, it's
you know,
not going to kill him.
No, absolutely. It'll take him down enough for me to get to safety wherever
he wouldn't
that happens
be able
to
describe
me.
You anyway. Once
right.
you mace the
exactly.
asshole.
Right.
But so here's a life lesson. We have another segment,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Okay.
Right after we come back from a commercial for Lipstick Bodyguard.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
So what you can do now is the next time you go shopping with your kids, and I recommend not having the three of them at the same time because then it's like roping, you know, chickens or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
trying to herd geese.
It's not a good thing. So let's say you're with, we'll use Katrina as example now. Walt Jr.'s a little older, but them two, when you pull up and park, the first thing you should do is make sure your car's not programmed when you put it in park. The door's unlock. You can deprogram that.
Yes, correct.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But you should tell the boy or the girl, say, all right, put your phone away right now. I want you to start learning from me, like teaching a kid how to go on an escalator or something. This is how we do things now. We're in a mall. We're in a public place, high crime area. We need to be careful. Phone off. Head up. Let's get out of the car together. Walk to the front of the car. We walk side by side with a purpose, walking into the mall, looking for this sign. We don't want to have our kids have nightmares in the middle of the night, but we teach them how to look both ways before they cross the street, right?
Sure, yeah. Don't go with strangers.
Because we're worried about a random car running them over. Well, what about a random shit? We tell them don't take candy from kids, from other adults. We tell them walk in the opposite direction of traffic. Don't walk up to somebody's car and give them directions. Well, there's no reason why you can't describe situational awareness to them. There's no reason why you can't go over little self-protection scenarios of things they can do. You always want to tell them to listen, you'll never get in trouble if you felt you were doing the right thing. Mom or dad will back you up 1 bajillion percent. Okay, my ex-stepson was the only kid in junior year of high school. When asked, if you went to a party and got drunk, would you risk driving your car home or would you call a parent up and, you know, fess up? He was the only one that raised his hand and said, yeah, I would call my stepdad up and say if I was drinking, because he'd pick me up and bring me home. And the next morning when I wake up, I'd pay dearly for it. But I know he'd be a lot less mad at me than if I got behind the wheel of the car, because I developed a rapport with that kid over the years and telling him that you're not going to get in trouble. So like if some people, like you would say to your daughter, well, why didn't you go tell security? Well, I thought you'd get mad. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to make sure our kids understand that we are not going to get mad.
Right. They won't get in trouble
and
for
maybe
this.
They
They're
did
not
make,
getting anybody
correct,
in trouble.
Correct, Jenna. Maybe they did make a mistake, and we got to eat it, and we got to back them up, and we got to go to them and say, you did the right thing. The next time I would prefer if you did ABC instead of XYZ, but you're here, you're home, you're safe.
You're safe.
You're not losing your phone. You're not losing your TV rights for the next month or whatever it is they use to punish kids today. I just got the buckle end of the belt.
Yeah, right.
You know, so.
Over and over again.
We have to have that open dialogue with our children. They don't just raise themselves. We try to instill so many other things in them. We're always so worried about how they act when they go over neighbors' houses. Don't jump on the furniture. Don't open the fridge. Don't
say
do this.
Please and
don't
thank
do that.
You.
Exactly. Right. So we have to take it one step further, and we have to bring them along, because you know it. Now, is she going to the mall alone yet with friends? Or no, 12 is still
she
too young.
She did once.
Oh,
she did once.
And how relaxing was that for you?
A little nerve-wracking.
You didn't follow her?
I knew the mother. Okay. She they were staying together, but it wasn't me.
Exactly.
You know, so it was another parent.
Which is not going to pay as much attention to your child as her own child.
Right.
Of course.
Let's face it.
Of course.
You know? Although sometimes that's different. Like when I walk Rob's dog, she almost darted out into the street. Shelby went there. I'm like, oh, no. You know, if Winston darts out of the street and gets killed, he's on my leash. I have to live with that. If it's somebody else's dog, I have to go back and tell them. Like, right. No. Yeah. You know, like, I lost my kid. Okay, yeah. I lost your kid is a tough thing to, to present to
harder,
someone.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So maybe she was safe at the time, but I know that feeling. But we have to tell the kids, we have to continue to instill them, you're not going to get in trouble. Trust your instincts. This normalcy bias thing, we have to tell the kids. If you come home and the porch light's always on and it's not on, there's a problem. We always talk about there's an old trick. If Sandy and I are house thieves, we break into your house from a basement window. We gave Bruno a 96-ounce steak to gnaw on. Hopefully that bought him.
That would not buy him. But
damn. Anyway,
most dogs it would.
Most dogs it would. What we do is I take crazy glue and toothpicks, and we glue the locks closed on the front door and the back door. I stick a little crazy glue in a toothpick. I stick it in a tumbler and break it off. Now, what that does is it buys time. If you come home early, you can't get your key in the lock. All right? So while you're trying to get in the house, him and I run out the back door with pillowcases filled with all your possessions and everything. Well, we have to teach kids stuff like this. If you walk up to the front door and the key won't go in, you got to back out to the street, call 911 immediately, or go to a neighbor's house. And you'd be surprised. They ask kids all the time, why didn't you call 911? I didn't know if it was really going to happen. I didn't want to get in trouble. I was afraid my mother was going to get mad. I didn't want to get in trouble with the police.
Right.
We have to teach them that the game has changed now.
Right.
Mom will deal with the police. Right. Call them up.
Let be on my shoulders.
Do their job.
Yep. Okay?
Because chances when something's going to happen, they're probably doing something they shouldn't have been doing. So they want to more cover that. I'm going based on us as kids.
Correct.
You know, well, we all did shit that we just, and every time we got in trouble, every time something happened, it was because we were doing something that we shouldn't have been doing.
Correct. My father would always backhand me for that,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
And but you make the kids clear that. I learned at 12 years old. My brother still hasn't learned, by the way. I learned at 12 years old that when my father asked me a question, he knew the answer already.
Right.
So when he asked,
yeah,
when he interrogated
yeah,
me,
exactly,
I
right.
would pause. Yeah.
It was not a conversation, it was an interrogation.
Lie, but then
yes.
I would tell the truth.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And he'd be like, all right, good answer. Now get the F away from me. You know, tell yeah. your brother to come down. And then I'd hear bing, bang, boom, you know? And I'd be like,
he didn't learn that lesson.
Yeah, what the hell? You know, he knew.
Yeah. And what do you think he asked you for?
The same
he
thing.
Had detail.
So your kids have to know that if somebody, like the same thing your kids have to know with guns. Like your kids have all been to the range. So
yes.
they know if they go to a party and some knucklehead brings his father's gun out or something, your kids know they have to get out of there. Because if they want to see or touch or feel guns, they can do it under your lead
supervision right.
anytime. So it's the same thing. Teaching kids, listen, you're going to text message. I know you're going to text, but you shouldn't be text messaging from the car to inside the mall. Your hands
not
should
while
be
you're walking.
Correct.
You need to be aware of your surroundings.
Correct. Consumer Reports 6 months ago did a thing on emergency room accidents. They've spiked because people texting, walking into manhole covers,
yeah, yeah.
walking
yes,
into
just
traffic,
walking. Not even driving, you know,
walking
anymore.
Into doors.
I told a story a few shows ago where I was outside the Apple store and a girl texting walked past me and she walked right into the wall of the Movado store
like a bird.
While she was texting and then she tried to look cool like it didn't happen. And I looked at her and said, I saw it. I wanted her to know, I saw you.
You got caught.
You're dumb. You know, you're dumb. But this is what happens now. They're so detached that they don't see what's going on. And we have to teach them. You have to say, all right, put the phone down.
Yes.
You can text all you want. Once we get into the mall, we're outside the dressing room or whatever, you can text all you want. But there are certain times where we have to have our focus on that. The same thing. You have a huge SUV. One click is the driver's side door. Two clicks is all the doors.
Is all the doors,
right?
Yes.
So if you're alone, it should be one click.
Absolutely one click, yep.
Right, and as soon as you get in the car, lock the doors.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
How much of this do you think you would have known had you not listened to the show all the time and had you
Other than your dad's input.
Other than your dad's input and also not being part of the Woodland Park Range? Do you think any of that background has played a role in any of this?
Oh, absolutely. Especially the Christmas show that you had done or the awareness right around the Christmas time. Just the little things that you take for granted on an everyday basis.
See, that's good to know, isn't
it?
I mean, a lot of times we sit
here. Yeah, we like to know.
We sit behind a microphone here. We know there's a million plus people out there listening. Okay,
right.
But
you don't know how it impacts.
You just don't know whether what you're saying is worthwhile to people, whether you're bringing these things up, whether it's getting through.
It could just, like the things you were just rattling through, Anthony, with what we need to tell our kids, something's going to click into somebody and they will talk to their kids about, and they will hopefully help them understand that they won't get in trouble. For me and for my circumstances, what had happened, it was a combination of a couple things. My husband is very, he is also someone who is very aware
intense.
Of his surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
I would
too,
describe
yes.
Walter is intense.
Yes. So he's always telling me, he's, you know, I grew up in Maryland, so for me, it wasn't a huge crime rate. It wasn't a big city. I was a suburbanite.
You don't say attitude.
No, I don't.
No,
but
don't.
I used to say y'all.
Balmer, Maryland. I'm going to get,
Balmer.
You know, I am going Balmer. To get a shit. Listen, I lived in Balmer, Maryland. So don't send me hate mail.
That was before the surgery you lived
That
in,
was
right?
before the surgery.
But you're absolutely
I kept my
right.
name.
You're
though.
Right about instilling it in the kids. I mean, we get on their cases right. to brush their teeth and take their shoes
yeah.
off when they come in
right.
the house.
Right.
But the biggest hurdle is to let them understand that, I mean, you're not giving them a license to commit felonies, but you're giving them a license
no,
to use it.
No, but it is a life lesson.
Judgment is best possible
yeah.
right.
and know that you have their back.
Well, as a parent, that is your job to protect them while they can't protect themselves, but to teach them how to protect themselves as they grow older. When they leave and they
wow,
have their own job,
statement.
They have their own apartment, you want to be secure in the knowledge that you gave them enough information to protect themselves as they are out in the world.
Mm.
You know, and if they're constantly texting while they're walking, they're, what did you call it, the white?
Condition white.
Condition white.
Condition white is head and ass disease.
Yeah.
And then condition
so
yellow.
You
would,
have to be aware. Would,
condition yellow would be a heightened state of awareness, which is
right.
everyone should go through life like that. We should
right.
only be in condition white. You and your hubby are watching TV with Bruno at 11 o'clock at night, and all three kids are upstairs in bed. That's the only time you're allowed to slip into condition white.
Except
do you ever,
if
though?
Bruno goes,
do you,
no.
do you ever? I never either.
No.
I was going to say, that's usually the time that I'm pretty much, what the hell was that noise? Even
yeah.
though you've got the alarm going on, you've got everything
right.
else.
Because you, yeah. Because you can hear things, and if it's an odd noise,
right.
you.
And
you
it's
know,
a house settling.
She just perked
right.
up like Bruno would do.
Yeah,
yes.
right, right,
do.
Right. Yeah.
Which
right.
I tell the old story with my ex-wife. The dog starts barking 3 o'clock in the morning. She gets out of bed. She's telling the dog to shut up. I wake
no,
up
no,
and
no.
I'm telling her to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I follow him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're reaching for the
yeah.
shotgun.
Yes. yeah, he's barking 3 o'clock in the morning. He never barks 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Yeah,
right.
what's
There's
going
something
on?
Something up.
He
hears
up.
Something.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so these are the things that our kids need to understand, too. And sometimes they don't. You know, you're
yeah.
right, with between headphones and cell phones. Jen, you kick butt today. Thank you for coming
Thank
on
you.
The show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Couple classes I want to talk about. Urban Carbine 2, March 8th. Urban Carbine 3 in Sussex County, March 15th. Urban Shotgun 1 at Woodland Park Range, March 16th. Masad Ayoub, the great one, is going to be here June 1st, 2nd. May 30th to June 2nd, excuse me, with Mag 20 and 40. There's 3 seats left
you
for Mag.
You better get them.
3 seats left. Evan Knappen will be here Friday, May 8th. Knappen. That's selling out already. He'll be on the show that day. We have adult CPR and AED Sunday, March 8th. We have a low light, no light clinic Monday, March 23rd. And Jen, here's a class for the whole family. The Akali Knife Fighters will be here Saturday, March 7th for defensive pen.
Oh, that
oh,
is
cool.
phenomenal. Have you ever
okay.
taken that?
No.
Oh,
okay.
My wife
that
and I took
really,
it. It's fantastic.
Yes. So yeah. they'll call, and they're
really
going to start doing knife classes here again as well. They were just on an NICX show, Nick's
oh.
show. They were on one of these shows or something, the Akali family. But they're doing the protective pen Saturday, March 7th from 10 till 5. Learn how to protect yourself with a Kubotan or just a plain old Pentel
pen.
Big
pen
or
yeah.
a big pen. It doesn't matter which. We use Pentel, clear Pentel 20s during the class. And that's a great class because that's another backup plan that you could have had also.
Right.
Is I don't go anywhere without a pen because I can kill somebody with it or immobilize them with
yep.
it. So you did very good on the show, and thank you and your family for being a part of, as your husband says, this great experiment here.
Well, you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and their licensed broadcast music, Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barone. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Jen, thank you so much for coming in, and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please tune in next week. Please stay safe and keep your damn hate mail from Baltimore. Great city, but it was
Send
better
it.
When Mayor
Send
Schaefer
it.
Was there. Say
Send
goodbye,
it.
Winston. We love you guys. See you next week. From sea to the shine.